Welcome everyone, Pastor David here on the final Sunday in March, 28th of March, and we're glad to be together, and we now turn to our God in prayer. So Father God, a little fellowship of people bow before you this morning to thank you for that day which is the happiest of all days for us as Christians, the day when Jesus' death on the cross washed the guilt of our sins away and made us clean and acceptable to you, our Father. Help us to worship you this morning from our hearts with gladness and gratitude and love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, a few birthdays this week. Hopefully the technology is going to work this time. Happy birthday to Jackie, to Adrian, and to Charles.
Happy birthday.
Well, now, if you have your Bibles and would like to turn to John's Gospel again, and we're going to turn to chapter 19 once more, John chapter 19, and this week, Graham's going to read the verses to us.
Today's reading is from John chapter 19 and starting from verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. When they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken, and as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Thank you, Graham. And over the past few Sundays, we've been looking at the events that happened on what we call Good Friday. But as the title that I've given this message says, Good Friday doesn't seem that good, because on that day you see an innocent man found completely not guilty at his trial, but then flogged and then nailed to a cross to die a horrible death. There's not much good there, it seems. But in these verses before us today, the Apostle John tells us that what is happening is in fact really, really good. So let me point you to a few of the really good things that we see here. And in that opening verse, the first sentence that Graham read to us, we read, "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled." So all that is happening here is a fulfilment of the words of scripture written thousands of years before. So Psalm 69 tells us that on this day, the sacrificial Lamb of God would be given to redeem and to cleanse his people from the guilt of sin. And you remember, of course, as we listened to Graham read that passage, that when the soldiers came to break Jesus' legs, that they found that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. Instead, they stabbed a spear into his side. And both those things were fulfillments of Scripture. Scripture, as I said, written thousands of years before. Exodus 12 speaks of the sacrificial lamb, lamb without blemish, no broken bones. Psalm 34 states clearly that this Messiah that would come would have no broken bones, and that instead, there in Zechariah 12, instead of that, a spear would be thrust into his side. And so, we read in verse 36 of this John 19, these things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. And that makes this startlingly special, that all that has happened had been revealed by God centuries before, that God looks very different on the surface, but that God is in total control, working everything to his salvation plan. And that makes this a good day, because God is controlling everything, and God is good. God's goodness is running the show. God is in control on the day that the full force of satanic power and the full force of human fallenness and sin is against God. Then this good God is in control today, on the last Sunday in March 2021, and you and I can fully trust him. For all your days, if you belong to him, if you're a true Christian, it's a good day. On that first Good Friday, God was at work bringing about his salvation plan. Fulfillment of Exodus 12, where the lamb selected had to be without blemish, no broken bones, a perfect sacrifice. The death of an animal in place of a son. The lamb will die. Son will live in every household that's covered by the blood of the Lamb. Of course, in every household that remains uncovered, rejecting the way of salvation, uncovered by the blood, well, the Son dies. And that's the picture that God gives to his people, telling them of a greater rescue when the Lamb of God would come to be the sacrifice, and to shed his blood and die, so that those who come to him in trust and repentance and faith will be sheltered, will be covered by his death for the guilt of their sin. Jesus dies as God's Passover lamb. And God's salvation plan is worked out and finished. And that makes the day that Jesus dies a good day. It's no accident. It's not God's plan B when everything had gone wrong. For right at the beginning, Jesus is described as the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. God's great salvation plan, conceived in eternity, before God ever said, let there be light. God knew that the people that he would create would reject him, would rebel against him, would go their own way, and he planned to send his son to rescue them and to save them. And Jesus the Son willingly, because of love for his people, willingly came. And so, describing what this might have been, a writer An author imagines Jesus saying to his Father, "Upon me, Father, be all their debt." And so Jesus comes and willingly dies on the cross for sinners and accomplishes his Father's plan. What a good day. What a great day. No wonder it's called Good Friday. And so, verse 30, when Jesus had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. So what is finished? Is it Jesus that's finished? Well, no, certainly not. It's God's salvation plan. It's God's salvation plan to rescue sinners from the wages of sin, from a lost eternity in hell. It's now accomplished. It's finished. Everything now at the cross is complete. Now there is a way of rescue. There's a way of salvation. And so you and I, all true Christians, say, oh, happy day when Jesus washed the guilt of my sin away. For Good Friday is such a great day. And then I point you to something else that is good. Because Jesus washes us clean from the judgment and the guilt of our sin. Verse 37. Here, as I take up my Bible, I read, and as another scripture says, they will look on the one that they have pierced. And as I mentioned, that's a quote from the Old Testament book of Zechariah in chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah is quite a hard book to find, so I'll just remind you of what it says. If you were to find it and look at that particular passage, you will find these verses begin like this: "I will pour out on the house of David a spirit of grace, so that when they look at him whom they have pierced, they weep bitterly over him." Did you notice that? The promise is that God is going to pour out grace. And the picture is of pouring out, of washing, of cleansing, so that the guilt of sin in God's eyes for the Christian is gone forever. Because of this day, the day of the death of Jesus, the sinner can be washed clean before God forever. And I can't tell you anything more wonderful, more good than that. Because all of us have so many times when we mess up. Christians who have been forgiven and cleansed fall again. And oftentimes, because this happens regularly, we feel excluded because we've let God down so many times before. Can we come again? Will he? Can he forgive me yet again? And in answer, Jesus points us to Good Friday and to the cross. Jesus wants us to know, he wants you to know, that he's paid for it all, because we are in him, we're in Christ, we're clean forever in the eyes of God, and we'll never, never, never be excluded from God's presence. What a happy day this is. We are secure because our salvation, our acceptance with God, doesn't depend on what we do. We're secure because of what Jesus has done for us. It's finished. The price for sin has been paid. And so if you're a true Christian listening to this, those words, "It is finished," are written over your life forever. And that's what makes it Good Friday. Of course, if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus in this way as your Saviour, nothing's ever changed in your life, then Jesus offers God's salvation plan to you. Just right now, ask him to take you on, to forgive you, to help you, to change you, to begin to live for him, and you'll be cleansed and clean with a new start and accepted right into the very family of God. And just to close this down now, just finally, Jesus's work on Good Friday, we see, is a fruitful work. Verse 38, later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. And then the following verse, that he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Joseph, we're told, was a disciple of Jesus. He was a true follower of Jesus, but he was a secret disciple. He was afraid of anyone knowing. He didn't want anyone to know. He got too much to lose. But after Good Friday, after the cross, Joseph's allegiance to Jesus is now up front for everyone to see, even Pilate. He goes to see. And then there's Nicodemus, who's another secret disciple. He, the one who came to Jesus at night, didn't want anyone to see that he was a follower of Jesus. But after the cross, we find Nicodemus openly bringing gifts and spices for everyone to see his love and commitment to Jesus. So what's changed these men? It's the cross. Jesus had told his disciples, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to me, all the chosen, all the elect of God now will be drawn into the kingdom of God, and it's the cross that makes the difference. And so this day of the cross, it's Good Friday that we call it, is so good. It's the rescue day, it's the saving day, it's the changing day that reveals God's goodness. God the Father really is our Father, and the Son is our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and Good Friday really is good. The price is paid, the forgiveness is bought, the acceptance with God is ours, heaven is guaranteed, we are forgiven forever. And we say, hallelujah, what a Saviour.
With every breath that I am given, Joining in sound.